looking out at the devastation. I'm still here.
Welcome, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Because He indeed is Lord. He is Lord over all. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. And each and every one of us is grateful. We're grateful for the chance to be here in such a time as this, to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. We are grateful to be His. We're grateful to be called by His name. We're grateful that He, by His Spirit, has quickened us and brought us unto Himself. And He is the Lord, and we are the ones that follow the Lord and are under the subjection of the Spirit of God, under the leading and the guiding of His Spirit, under His call, His plan, His purpose, because it's His bat, His ball, His field, the whole thing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the whole thing belongs to Him, and all the things that are happening and taking place, in the midst of all of this, you've got to also remember that He is in control. You've got to remember that God is allowing for certain things to happen and to take place because He's got a bigger thing going on. Now, we know way in advance. We've had to put certain things out, and if you guys got to go back and listen to the audios from earlier on where we've been talking about certain things that are now very important, one of them being, we've been talking probably for at least a year now about the wave and the wave of light and what God is doing with that. And the need to be able to be flexible and fluid and to flow with Him and what He's doing. And essentially also to keep your eyes on Christ in the middle of all of this. To listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the middle of all of this. To go with Him. To fix your gaze on Him. If you don't do that, if you start getting distracted and going to and fro with all these things that are going on around us, you are going to start to sink, just like Peter did when he was engaged in the miraculous, and then when he took his eyes off of Jesus and started focusing on all the raging waves tossing and turning all over around him, and his mind started to spin, then he started to sink, where he was living in the miraculous before that, and then he started to process all the rest of that, and his mind started to work, and then he just started to go somewhere else. So the need for you to keep your focus on Christ is going to be more and more imperative in the time that we're going into. And that's also going to be how you're going to ride this wave, is you're going to need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, my buddy Zeph and I and Trish, we were talking a little bit earlier today, and you know, one thing that kind of came up in our discussion was... You know, when Jesus, you know, when He would go and He would visit, a lot of people wanted to make Jesus fit into their world. When He came to this planet and was walking around, and when Jesus would walk by, a lot of times people would say, "Oh, Jesus, come stay with us. Come stay here. Come stay in our city. Come stay in our village. Come stay in our town." And they wanted to make Jesus fit their thing, fit their reality. They wanted to put Him in a house on the corner where they could just kind of go do their God thing every now and then and go meet Him there. And that's not how it worked. Jesus said, no, He said, come and follow Me. If you wanted to be with Jesus, if you wanted to hear the words of Christ, you had to go and follow Him. He's the shepherd, you're the sheep. He's not the goose that lays the golden egg that you put in the corner. He's the shepherd and you are the sheep. And you follow the voice of the shepherd. And you go wherever He is going. You are led by Him, and that's how it works. So right now, for those that are the true followers of Christ, they are led by the Spirit wherever the Spirit leads and guides them to go. They hold nothing in this world. That means that in Jesus' time, what He would do is He would... Right away, it's like, you know, people would be at their tax collecting booth, or they would be, bringing in the nets, and their dad would be in the boat. And he's like, come follow me. And they would leave the nets and their dad and everything, and they would go follow him. They would leave their job. They just walk off the job and go follow him. You think when Matthew left the tax collecting booth that he took all the money with him? He just left. He just left. There was something going on. They heard the words of Christ and they just left it all to follow him. They knew where life was and they left it all to follow him. And there are those that came along during the journey of Christ on earth. There are those that came along and they heard his voice, but they wanted him to fit their thing. And they couldn't follow him. They couldn't do it. Because they had too much held in this world. They had too much that they were holding on to in this world. They had too much that was just keeping them from moving forward in what God was doing. You know that, hey, it's the rich young ruler was a case in point, and he went away sad. He went away sad because he had the option. Now, I guarantee you, if he had the chance to make that same decision today, having passed on into eternity, he would make the decision in a moment, in a split of a split second, he would be following Christ. He would sell it all and follow him. But you don't get that choice again. You don't get that opportunity again. This is the window that you have to follow Christ. This is the window that you have to trust him. This is the window that you have to hear his voice. This is the window that you have to know the truth. To be consummated with that truth, to walk in that truth, to hear his voice, to not follow another. This is the window that you have. You don't have another one. This is it. So now, that being the case, that this is the window that you have, what are you going to do with it? Here's a question. When truth is there, will you turn your back on truth because it's not convenient? You know, there's many times when you stand up for the truth that it's not convenient to stand up for that truth. That it's not convenient to be a messenger of truth. You think that when Naaman was, Nathan the prophet. You think when Nathan was visiting David, King David, after what happened with Bathsheba, you think that was convenient for him? David had put people to death before. In fact, he put Bathsheba's own husband to death to try to cover up what he had done. Nathan was walking in there, this prophet of God, putting his... Listen, if it went bad, it could have been over for him. He didn't know. But he went in there with the truth. And that truth was what ended up helping to put David back on the right track, but it could have gone a bad way for him personally. But he did not love his life in this world so much as to shrink from death. He did not love his life in this world so much as to pull back when God needed somebody to stand in the gap and wanted somebody to stand in the gap, wanted somebody to step up to the plate and say what needed to be said, speak what needed to be said, put their shoulders back and say the truth. God wanted somebody to do that. That was what Nathan did. You know, I think the times that we're coming into, as difficult as they may be, are... Really, the silver lining is going to be a blessing of God to help shake people out of their complacency to truly make a decision and know for themselves for all eternity the choice that they made. There's a lot of people right now that claim Christ, but it's out of convenience. They don't really love the truth. Because when the truth is there, they refuse to stand up for the truth. They refuse to stand up for that which is real. They refuse to stand up for that which they know. Listen, the kingdom is within you, so God has revealed himself within. When that truth has been revealed within, will you stand up for the truth that you know? Or will you turn your back on it as environments and external realities change and shift? Do you have a relative morality? Or will you stand up for what God's already showed you and made true and made real and made known? What will you do? What will you do with the truth that God has revealed to you? Will you speak it? Will you live it? Or will you just sort of kind of just bury it and put it on the side? What will you do with that truth? Will you, knowing as God revealed himself unto David, going out against the bear and the lion, and knowing that God would continue to protect them, would you then go up against Goliath? Knowing that the same God that delivered him out of the mouth of the bear and the lion would deliver him out of the reach and the hand of Goliath. And that even though he came against him with sword and spear and all the rest of his armaments, that David knew that he came against Goliath in the name of the living God. And he knew that he was going to walk off that field victorious. He was persuaded that God would do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond all that he could ask and think. So he knew whom he served. Do you know who you serve? Do you know that God will show up for you? Do you know that God will stand with you when you stand with him? Or is this walk, is it something else? What is this walk to you? What does it mean to you? It's always, you know what? It's good to take a little time and have some introspection about this. Because not everybody that calls themselves a brother or a sister in Christ is on the same page with you. There's a lot of people that might admire something about the way that you walk with Christ, but they're not going to stand with you when the time comes. And listen, you don't need that. Listen, Jesus was very deliberate about the people that he let close to him. There was thousands of people thronging around Jesus, and he went up on a mountain to pray, and he came down and he picked 12. You know, he picked his 12 apostles. He picked those that would be close to him. And all of them were picked deliberately, on purpose, with intention. And yes, Judas was one to betray him, and that was a deliberate choice as well. All of them were picked for a reason. But Jesus was deliberate about his company, and he was deliberate about those that were close to him. And even in the picking of Judas, he highlighted and showed what can happen when you have somebody close that also has malicious intent possible in their heart towards you. What will you do with what God is doing with you? What will you be? Will you be wise in your decisions and in your choices? Will you go forward with what God is showing you? Or are you just going to have a relative morality and a relative approach to this life and a relative truth? Or is it going to be what God has showed you? What God has revealed to you? Do you have the courage of your convictions to continue to persist as God is allowing for you to move forward with the things that he's showing you? You know, I know recently we talked a little bit about what is widely being called the Mandela effect, but basically just things shifting in a fluid reality where things that were at one point seem to be one way, and now all of a sudden they seem to be a different way. So texts being rewritten, words and brands changing, scriptures being altered. And that's actually an incredibly fascinating change and fascinating shift that's taking place there too. You know, this is not done, by the way. There's going to be more and more things that are going to be breaking through and shifting in this fluid reality as we continue to move forward. And that's, I believe, also partly why God gave us the analogy of the wave of light. It's also a spiritual thing. It's not just an analogy, but it's a spiritual thing as well that's taking place. And light is going to be coming in the midst of all of this too. So, but because it's fluid, because things shift. The only thing solid is that board. Everything else is moving when you're on that wave. And you've got to get in that spot, and you got to stay in that place. And you got to flow with what it's doing. So you're not going to overpower that. You might be able to make a good ride out of it, but you're not going to. That wave is going where it's going. And you can either go with it, or you can get rolled by it. But it is going to do what it's going to do. Now, here's an interesting scripture I was thinking about in the middle of some of these shifts and some of these changes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so it goes on. This is, but one piece in this thing that I was contemplating and thinking about today, in the midst of everything that's taking place with some of even the shifts, has been verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till, and this even seems a little bit different than it used to, but verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And the thing that I've been thinking about with this is that, and Jesus said that one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that till heaven and earth pass. And what we've seen is some of the changes that have happened and some of the shifts that have happened have even happened even directly within things that are in the books of the law. You know, this, where the law was given, even in the scriptures, as well as other parts of the scriptures too. One jot, one tittle, that was the smallest stroke that could be done in the writing of the scriptures. It was the smallest stroke that could ever be made. And Jesus said that it wouldn't in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And the thing I was contemplating earlier today is, because whatever's taking place, whatever shifts are taking place, God being also above it all and being in control would also be allowing for certain things to happen. Could it possibly be, and this is just a question I'm asking, could it just possibly be that we are now approaching are in the midst of the fulfillment, all being fulfilled? And could it be, secondly, a time of heaven and earth coming into the place, heaven and earth passing away? Because we know in scriptures they talk about the earth wearing out like a garment. We know all kinds of other things as well. But are we getting to that place now? Are we coming to that apex? Are we coming to that climax of what's taking place as all creation is earnestly groaning for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of the living God to be revealed? Are we getting to that place now? And is this thing that God has also allowed? Because here's the thing. Jesus allowed for himself to be taken and to be crucified. Jesus, who was the Word made flesh, allowed for his own physical being, his body, him in the earth, to be marred and to be bruised and to be beaten and to be scorned and to be spit upon and to be nailed to a cross for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world and for our transgressions. He allowed for that to happen. So he allowed for the Word, if you would, to be mistreated like that. The truth to be mistreated like that. To be violated like that. In so doing, also, there was the fulfillment of the Scriptures, and that was part of the mystery. Because the Scriptures did tell us before that if the enemies of our souls, if they understood that in that what would have happened as a result of the crucifixion, they would have done everything they could to stop it. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they knew about the resurrection, if they knew about their defeat that was impending and going to happen in that. So even in the midst of this right now, even in the midst of these fluctuations, is this also an indication, possibly, I'm just asking that question, of fulfillment and a marker of the passing of heaven and earth? That may be part and parcel of what we're shifting into. I mean, we know from the Scriptures too that rock that smashed that idol made with the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and clay feet and all of that, that representation of that Babylonian system, that when that thing was smashed, that it pulverized it. And it became like chaff on a threshing room floor. And it was, when the wind blew, it just blew that thing away and there was nothing left. There was no trace of it anymore. And then that rock grew and filled the whole earth. So we know that God has, that part of that revelation is that there's nothing left. When this wave of light finishes rolling through, there's just a wipeout in the spirit. A whiteout, if you would. So all of what is taking place, and all of what needs to transition, and all of what has to happen. So could it potentially be that also some of these indications that we're seeing are also an indication, too, of where we are moving in time, even though we are eternal beings and all this stuff is actually outside of time, but in this space, in this paradigm, in this window that we are here right now, could this be an indicator? Quite possibly. I never thought I would see some of these changes that have already happened and some of these alterations that have already taken place. And, you know, for me, hey, listen, I've been studying the Scriptures since I was 8 years old, all right? So, yeah. I mean, I've got decades in these books. And I know the way that God has put this stuff in front of me and taught me over the years and over time. And I know what those Scriptures have said. I know how long I've been studying the King James. I know the language of the so many of these passages, and I see the shift that's taking place, and I'm not going to say that there are three lights when there's actually four. I'm not going to pretend that something is not what it is, or that something hasn't shifted, or something hasn't changed. But in that too, my question, come back to God, because He's the one above it all, and say, Lord, okay, what is this? Where are we? What's going on here, Father? Please show me. Please reveal to me. Please teach me. Please lead me. Please guide me. Because yes, we're keeping our eyes on Christ Jesus, because that was the instruction we were given before all of these things happened. Before all of this happened and took place, that was the instruction that we were given. And in that instruction being given to us, as we continue to move forward in that, what does God show us? Well, He shows us some other stuff. Some other possibilities that also might be there. Some other indicators that also might be there to encourage us, to quicken us. Brothers and sisters, pray. Seek the Spirit. Seek God. Seek His face. Seek Jesus Christ. He will lead you and quicken you and encourage you and strengthen you in the time that you're now living in. Don't be distracted by all these things around you. You can be aware, but don't let them grab hold of your consciousness and your thought life and your reality, because that's not what's real. What's real is Christ. That rock that smashed the idol and grew and filled the whole earth, that is truth. That is real. That is the place to put your focus. That is the place to put your heart. Set your heart on things above. Store up your treasure in heaven, where wrath and where rust doesn't destroy, where moth and rust don't, where thieves don't break in and steal, where all of that. Set your intentions, your volitions, all of who you are on that which is real, that which is true, that which is Him. And, you know, if you continue to go after and pursue the truth, and if you are assured in your heart of the way that God has spoken to you, then go with that. Move forward in that. And if you're seeking truth and others are seeking truth, hey, you're gonna meet in the same place at some point. And God will work things out. And so leave space for how God will work with other people too. Sure. But you got to go with what you know right now. You got to go with the one that has revealed Himself to you right now. And here's the thing. There's a great prayer you can pray. Something that my dad taught me a long time ago. God, if I'm missing it, You show me. You reveal to me. You quicken me. You lead me. You guide me. Because why? Because the Scriptures also tell us that the human heart is deceitfully wicked, and you know, it's you can be misled. So knowing that it's possible to be misled, you go to the one that's leading, and you say, Father, if I'm off track, Lord, You be the one to lead me. And you know what's so funny? If you say that out there, all these people then stand up wanting to be the Messiah and wanting to be Jesus and say, yeah, so I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. No, go away. Go away. I need that. Scriptures tell me I need that no man should teach me, for the Holy Spirit will teach me when He comes upon me. Right? Right. Do you agree with those? Do you agree with that? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay, if you agree with that, which is the truth, then you will go forward in the truth. And if you have something to say, it would be something that is already being resonated by the Spirit of God. If you're coming out of left field cold turkey, trying to redirect, then maybe there's something wrong there. And you know, what I've noticed in the way that God works with me is that He will speak something to my spirit, because the body hears the message from the head. So the head is speaking to the body, and I'll hear something in my spirit. And off of what I hear in my spirit, from there, I will oftentimes, something will resonate with another brother or another sister in Christ in a conversation to reinforce what it is that God is already showing me. So to encourage me in something that God is already showing me, rather than them trying to redirect. Because God has warned us time and time and time again about those that are going to try to stand up and try to deceive you and to try to trick you and to try to take you into another place that you shouldn't be. And you know what? They're just going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep doing that. They're not going to relent. They are going to continue to try to do that. And you need to press on in the truth in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, Father, we just pray right now. Lord, we pray against the lies and the deception. We pray against those who would try to use that which takes place to try to deceive and to trick. Father, we pray, Lord God, that for boldness, for everyone, Lord, that is seeking You in this time. seeking your face, wanting to know the truth, wanting to understand what's going on around them. Father, for those that are actually asking in their hearts, in the depths of who they are, for truth, Lord, we pray that you would meet each and every one of us. We pray, Lord God, that for those that love the truth and love you, that you would meet them, Lord God, and reveal yourself to them and reveal what is going on and what they need to know. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that are there, that are moving forward, Lord. I pray that you'd encourage them to continue to walk strong. I pray, Lord God, for a boldness in everybody's spirit to speak your word and to speak your truth and to move forward in the things of you. Lord, we bless your name right now. We bless you, Father. We pray for one another in Jesus' name that you'd strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we do not want to follow the voice of another because we know all others are thieves and robbers. We want to follow your voice to go where you would lead us and you would guide us. We thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there that speak your word as truth, or as it comes and flows from your spirit. But we know, Lord, ultimately, you are the one that's leading and guiding each and every one of us. So we look to you, our good shepherd, to guide us, Lord, in and through this time. And we pray that you'd encourage those that are your workers in the earth to continue to do that good work, and that each and every one of them would know that they are not forgotten, that their works are not in vain, and that you are with them. Lord, bless us, Father. Bless us in the truth and bless us in you. We love you, Father. We trust you. And we go on in Jesus' name and that. I bless you guys in Jesus' name. I pray for you. I pray that God blesses you and keeps you, watches over you, that he would command his angels concerning you, that you would not strike your foot against a stone, that his spirit would go ahead of you and his glory would be your rear guard. Father, in Jesus' name, be with us. We pray and we thank you. We love you. Amen. All right. Hey, brothers and sisters, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. Always love to hear from you. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.